tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I'm glad to have on the phone with me Minnesota State Representative for District 41B, Shane Hudella. Representative Hudella, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on again.
It's been kind of a busy couple of weeks up at the Capitol. I understand that Monday was Sovereignty Day at the Capitol, so let's start there. Tell me a little bit about what Sovereignty Day is and how it worked at the Capitol.
Sure. Well, it's definitely been busy times up here. We're seeing a lot of Friday committee now as well, which is just kind of an indication that, hey, we're coming to the end of bill introductions and vetting and moving to the floor, and that pace took a break Monday when we welcomed tribal leaders from all 11 tribal communities from across the state of Minnesota into the House chamber to speak to legislators and talk a little bit about their culture and history and gaming and a number of other topics. But it was also a chance for legislators to meet tribal community members and leadership and learn a little more about their sovereignty.
All right. And was the president of the Prairie Island community up at the Capitol? Do you know who represented the Prairie Island community?
Yeah, so our friends from Prairie Island were there. Johnny Johnson is the tribal council president, and Johnny spoke at length. It was interesting to hear his stories about growing up on the Prairie Island Reservation and to hear the stories of their growth. And Johnny brought a number of other tribal members with. It was great to see Shelley Buck there again and Cody Whitebear and a number of their staff. So it was great. And I think days like today help build better relationships between our state government and our sovereign tribal governments.
And so going on what happened at Sovereignty Day, does it seem like the interaction between the state of Minnesota and the tribal nations is in a good place right now? Things are going along well?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was very interesting to hear about how our tribal governments and those sovereign nations grew through gaming, and one of the tribal members referenced it as the modern day Tatanka or Buffalo for them. That's really provided a lot of growth, and I think that growth to the point that they're very influential and well received group within our state that adds to our tax base and employs many people. So I think right now that relationship's never been stronger, and I think everybody knows you can't go to a pro sports game without seeing the brand of Treasure Island or the Prairie Island community, as well as our friends in Shakopee. So, yeah, I think today was great, and I think our relationships right now between state government and tribal government has never been better.
All right, and it's always good. We, you know, my wife and I enjoy going down to Treasure Island. They have a wonderful facility. They have, you know, it's very well taken care of, very well maintained, and it's good to know that the relationship between the communities and the government, the state government, is in such a good place. Kind of moving on from there, you told me as we were getting ready for this particular segment that there is maybe a need for some investigation at the veterans home here in Hastings. I would like it if you could give me a little background on what prompted your response to launch an investigation and what's going on.
Sure. Well, a little over a week ago, the St. Paul Pioneer Press broke a story about whistleblower accusations at the Hastings Veterans Home. And it's incredibly serious allegations of potentially poor care for our veterans, toxic work environment, a number of very serious allegations from a group of people concerning the Hastings Veterans Home. So it was concerning enough to me to begin my own investigation, which is ongoing at this time, and I'm obviously very passionate about the care for our veterans, being one myself, and knowing folks that use the Minnesota Veterans Network for whether it's care or other things. So it's definitely concerning, especially when we're at the point right now where we're looking to invest $200 million of taxpayer money into renovating the facility. And the facility will get done, but I think it's incredibly important to get to the bottom of the allegations and work proactively with the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs' office and the Governor's office to try and make sure that any serious allegations are addressed thoroughly.
And how does an investigation from the House of Representatives differ from, say, a criminal or a court system investigation? What exactly are the mechanics? Well, exactly, what are the mechanics of it, and what are you trying to determine from your investigation?
Sure. I think there's some similarities and there's some differences between the two groups being able to look into matters. One thing that I can do as a state representative, I filed on Friday here a data practices request to get copies of all communication state communication regarding the Hastings Veterans Home. So any emails, text messages, memorandums within MDVA are requested now by my office. So that's one thing that I can do that maybe would be handled differently by law enforcement. The other thing I'm looking at right now is a potential OLA audit. So the legislative auditors here, the Office of the Legislative Auditor is what OLA stands for. They have the ability to go through and thoroughly audit the financials of an organization that's funded by taxpayer dollars. So I'll meet with them this week to discuss some things on that side. But there's different steps you can take as you gather information, and probably one of the most important ones is to interview people. And I've started those conversations now. I've worked on them for a week with personally interviewing current and former employees and hearing testimony from them and reviewing documents that they may have concerning allegations. So I think a lot of parallels. Hopefully we'll make progress quickly so that we can address the concerns quickly and look forward to working with the Commissioner's office again at MDVA to ensure that not only our veterans but our staff are being taken care of as well at the Veterans Home in Hastings.
Okay, and the results of an investigation from your office, would any of that be used by the court system in maybe prosecuting any case that might arise, or do those two bodies of information kind of stay separate?
To be honest, I don't know the answer. I would assume that things could be potentially used in a court of law. That's not my background, however, though. I don't have any experience as an attorney or in the judicial system, so I'll probably hold any comments on that just because I simply don't know.
Okay, I understand. And we do hope for a rapid resolution to this situation. Would anything like this affect the funding that may be in place for the renovation and remodeling of the veterans' home?
It potentially could. You know, like I mentioned earlier, there's an enormous investment of taxpayer dollars into that facility, and I do think that we as elected officials have a fiscal responsibility to those taxpayers to make sure that money's being spent wisely. And I think that at the end of the day, if it is uncovered that there are many issues there, it could potentially lead to a reevaluation of when we would start that project. Now, at the end of the day, the project still needs to get done.
Right.
So it's a little bit apples to oranges. Our veterans need new housing there, and they're going to get that. But I think that it's just important to remember that there's a little bit of separation between the physical needs of a new building and better accommodations versus potential management issues within MDVA.
All right, and once again, we will keep an eye on that, and we'll hope for a resolution to that situation that is a beneficial one to everyone involved. At this point, I'd like to move on again a little bit. We've talked in past weeks about you working on legislation to remove Social Security benefits from the load of income tax. And I bring this up at this point because I know late last week there was a group called We Make Minnesota that held a rally on the Capitol steps asking that legislators not remove the tax burden from Social Security benefits. I would like you to give us an update on the legislation itself and your response to their request.
Sure. Well, every week that goes by up here, I continue to fight to repeal our tax on Social Security, and folks on the Republican side of the aisle once again this past week declared an emergency on the House floor, which is really a parliamentary move to interrupt our normal House vote and proceedings that we're doing on the House floor and say, hey, we have an emergency, we feel it should be addressed tonight. And what that move does is to try and bring that bill or that legislation immediately before the body to make a ruling on. And once again, the majority struck down our move to try and deal with the Social Security tax. And it's frustrating. I mean, every week we have constituents, we have action groups, we even have a number of folks on the DFL side of the aisle that reinforce that they want to get this Social Security tax repealed. But it's disappointing when it comes time to vote that those folks, even though they may say that they want to get this done, are still essentially voting to block it or stall it.
All right, and a question I have in the information that this group sent out talked about removing or eliminating the taxes would primarily benefit wealthiest households. Where in the legislation might they find something like that? Because that's not something you've talked about. It was a complete repealing of benefits for everyone, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's it's an issue where there are lower incomes that within the state of Minnesota are not affected by this. It is a lot of middle class Minnesotans and up. Typically folks that are below that poverty line or that are on a lesser income typically are not going to be affected by this. But to me it's important for our middle class families that are affected by it. If you look at the financial crisis that we're facing in the state and in the nation right now, if you looked at the news this morning with the Silicon Valley Bank collapse and being rescued by the federal government today, we're in some really, really trying financial times. And for middle-class families that are nearing retirement, that have worked their whole lives and contributed to our communities, to have that extra stress going into retirement, that money that was taken out of their paychecks for Social Security is now going to be taxed again. So it's a lot about trying to help the middle class.
All right. We have covered a whole lot of ground here in just a short bit of time today, Representative Hedella. So what I'd like to do is give you the opportunity to provide your contact information if people have more questions or if they want to provide feedback on anything we've talked about today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I always love hearing from constituents. That's what I'm here to do, is to listen to their concerns and try and affect change at the Capitol. So if folks want to reach out, the best way to do that is to email me. I do reply to every email personally. I don't have a legislative assistant do it. It's important for me to read every email. So folks can reach me at rep.shane@house.mn.gov.
All right. I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In-Depth, Minnesota State Representative for District 41B, Shane Hedella. A lot of information in there today, sir.
Yeah, it was a busy week. Thanks for having me on again.
You are very welcome. You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.